Welcome to Star Wars Comics and Canon. The Force is strong with this one.
Hello there and welcome to Star Wars Comics in Canon, your guide to the wider Star Wars canon through the comic book lens. And to take you on this journey, I'm your host, Mike Burton. And so brings episode 79. So then guys, this week I am tackling the first volume of the 2020 run of Darth Vader comics by Greg Pak, which is the third run of Darth Vader comics in the canon thus far. Now if you haven't joined me for an episode of Star Wars Comics in Canon before, then welcome to the family. In brief, I go through the various Star Wars comics, I give you plot details in general, and then I also go through the various connections to other content and whatnot, so it's quite a good way to either get into the comics without having to pick any up or even touch them or read them and know the plot details and whatnot while learning much more about the Star Wars canon, or it's great if you read the comics and then listen to this afterwards to pick up on some of the things you may have missed. So that's the premise of the show, and with that in mind, let's move on. Now I want to clarify here that I am tackling the first five issues of the 2020 run of Darth Vader comics. They make up the story arc called Dark Heart of the Sith. And I will also be tackling the Empire Ascendant comic as well. I haven't decided if I'm going to put that at the start or at the end. It's technically speaking at the end of the 2015 run of Darth Vader comics, set just before A New Hope, but the information within it isn't explicitly important of where it falls in the timeline, so if the editing seems a little bit janky in a few minutes, it might be because I've recorded it at the end and then decided to put it at the start. But with that in mind, let's get into the details of this comic. So issue 1 of the Darth Vader 2020 run was released February 2020, issue number 5 was released September 2020, and the trade paperback collection of this story arc, which is called Dark Heart of the Sith, was released November 2020. The writer for these comics is Greg Pak, the artist is Rafael Ionko, and the colour artist is Niraj Menon. Now, the 2020 run of Vader comics takes place between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, so it's between 3 years after the Battle of Yavin and 4 years after the Battle of Yavin, and as I said, this is the third run of Darth Vader comics, so if you haven't tuned in previously to Star Wars Comics in Canon or read any other Darth Vader comics before, that's okay, but the 2015 run of Vader comics was written by Kieran Gillen, that takes place between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. And if you want to hear about that, check out episode 15 of Star Wars Comics in Canon, so it's quite a while ago now, and that's when I tackle the first volume of those Vader comics. I believe there are 4 volumes, so I think I do 4 episodes on those. They then continue into the Dr. Aphra comics, which is set in 2016, and I also tackle those, and if you keep listening to Star Wars Comics in Canon from episode 15, it'll become apparent where I start Dr. Aphra. It's after the Vader ones end. And then the 2017 run of Vader comics, that is actually set after Revenge of the Sith. It spans around a 5-year period between Revenge of the Sith and, well, the end of that 5-year period, ending with Fortress Vader, which is when he built his castle on Mustafar that you get to see in Rogue One. And if you want to hear about that, I started that in episode 62 of Star Wars Comics in Canon, and I tackled the finale, which was Fortress Vader, in episode 74 of Star Wars Comics in Canon. Now I want to add in here as well that there have been some Darth Vader comics I've been tackling in the War of the Bounty Hunters crossover event. All of those take place after the second volume of these 2020 run of Vader comics, and in 2 weeks' time I will be tackling the second volume of those 2020 comics, so then on the final episode of this year that will be out a week before Christmas I think, then I'll be tackling the fifth War of the Bounty Hunters chapter, and that'll mean that all of the Darth Vader comics, Bounty Hunters comics, Dr. Aphra comics, and main Star Wars comics are all up to date in the canon from this channel's perspective. So I want to clarify that, so obviously if you haven't already subscribed to either the feed of Comics in Motion if you're listening on the podcast player, or on YouTube where it's under Genuine Chit Chat, if you haven't subscribed to either of those places, please make sure you do that. And on YouTube you can check out the playlists, or on Comics in Motion you can just scroll back and it's got tons of other episodes I've done about Darth Vader as well, but as I said, the YouTube playlists are probably the best place to check it out, because just there's one playlist called Darth Vader and it's just got all of the episodes of his 3 series, as well as a couple of these sort of special mini series like Vader Dark Visions and Target Vader. So before delving into the full volume of this, I want to tackle the Empire Ascendant story in service to the Empire. It was released December 2019 in the one-shot comic Empire Ascendant, which has got a short story for Bounty Hunters, for Aphra, for Star Wars, and for Darth Vader. This one, each of the stories within them are written by different people, have different artwork, and etc. It's kind of like a good way to tie in the end of a lot of the series with the start of the 2020 series. So the writer for this one is Greg Pak, the artist is Roland Boshi, and the colour artist is Rachel Rosenberg. Now, it is quite short, I think it's only like 8 pages or maybe even 10, so I'm just going to kind of skip through this. So it shows a guy called Cordo, who is a sergeant, and he is fighting on the planet Mimban. Now, Mimban is in the Clone Wars episode Rookies. It's then mentioned in loads of other places, but the only other places we actually see it is, in canon, is the Age of Republic special, which is the 501st plus 1, which I think I tackled in episode 39 of Star Wars Comics in canon. That's when Jar Jar joins the 501st, which is where Captain Rex is, which was the clone squad that Anakin commanded, and the main place you see Mimban is in Solo, A Star Wars Story. So in the Solo movie, when you get that time jump, when Solo enters the Imperial Academy or Navy or whatever, and then he's fighting on that muddy world, and then he meets, you know, Woody Harrelson's character, Tobias Beckett and stuff. When all that happens on that planet, that's the planet of Mimban. And where it is in the galaxy, it is between the Inner Rim and the Mid Rim, is in the Expansion region. Yeah, anyway, you see this guy fighting on Mimban, and then it shows 13 years later, he is commanding some Death Troopers. It's confirmed that Rebels stole some tech and then made a cannon out of it, which is the cannons that you see in Empire Strikes Back on Hoth. I always think of the Family Guy, like, special of Star Wars, and he says, you know, fight the giant boob nipple cannons, which I can't ever unhear or unsee that. So that's what I think of when I see these cannons. But it's one of those, basically. And it's confirmed that many soldiers have died trying to take this cannon away from the rebels, and that victory is all that matters. So they go to the planet, they go in, they manage to kill a batch of rebels, and the Death Troopers are getting nearer and nearer. Cordo then flies a ship in, shooting at the cannon, and manages to damage it, but the cannon does hit what he is flying. He crash lands near the cannon, and then the Death Troopers come up to him, and they start shooting behind him, and he's calling them like an idiot or something, and then they start shooting the engines, and he's like, oh, you have learned. And then the explosion from his downed ship, after they're shooting the engines, blows up and destroys the cannon. It then shows that later on, the Death Troopers are being treated in a medbay by the Imperials because they're quite heavily damaged. A lieutenant comes in and says that he wants to kill them because they murdered Cordo. A droid says that they destroyed the cannon and that they killed a lot of rebels and things. The Imperial offset doesn't care, he calls them traitors, and then he chokes and falls to the floor. Vader then walks in and says that the Empire needs victors, and that's where the comic ends. So that's going to lead into this whole arc, because there's a squad of Death Troopers that are with Vader, and I presume that the Death Troopers we saw in this little story are in this as well. But that was a nice little mini prologue-y thing, so with that in mind, let's move on to the full first volume. Here is the crawl for Dark Heart of the Sith. Darth Vader failed to turn Luke Skywalker to the dark side. Luke escaped, but now he knows the truth. He is Darth Vader's son. For the first time in many years, Darth Vader's path is uncertain. Let's get into the story of this. So obviously I just read out the crawl, and in essence the first few pages of this is just a recap of The Empire Strikes Back, and it's got Vader kind of saying things to Luke, which is what he says in Empire Strikes Back, and then there's little comments that Vader kind of makes to himself that he would be saying to Luke if Luke were there. Things like, you know, Luke is weak, and then you see a picture of the Millennium Falcon and stuff. You know, Vader always calls Luke and anyone weak who has friends, which maybe it's because he doesn't have any friends, but who knows. But moving on from Empire Strikes Back, Vader gets on an Imperial shuttle and leaves with a squad of Death Troopers. Now, Death Troopers are something that were in Legends, but in Legends it was very different to what we've got in canon. So in Legends there's a book called Death Troopers, and it's basically a zombie book. I haven't read it personally. I've heard quite a few people who have read it say it is a pretty cool book. Zombies and Star Wars, a lot of fun, that's a bit different. But that was the book called Death Troopers, so it does sometimes cause a little bit of confusion here. But Death Troopers in the canon, they were first seen in Rogue One. They are then since seen in Star Wars Rebels, the animated show that I always gone about, and then also The Mandalorian. Plus, they're in loads of comics as well, including Dr. Aphra and Darth Vader comics, etc. They are essentially specialised stormtroopers. They are elites. They are trained in all kinds of different training. The list just goes on. I'm not going to read it all, but it's like hand-to-hand combat and being able to, you know, make anything into a weapon and all that kind of other tomfoolery. But they specialise in espionage and stealth. So the idea is that they go on a mission and it's almost untraceable to see if Death Troopers even went on that mission, because they cover their tracks that well. And they obviously don the black armor, which makes them stand out quite a lot, but they also have vocal scramblers. You hear that in Rogue One where you can't hear what they're saying. I remember when I first watched Rogue One, I was like, why can't I hear what these people are saying? Am I meant to? No, the answer is. I think there's the odd bit of content that you can hear what Death Troopers are saying. I have a suspicion, actually, it's in Star Wars Rebels that you hear a couple of them talk, which I do find takes away from it a little bit, but regardless, that's Death Troopers. As well as the Death Troopers, Vader also leaves with a droid, because he seems to often have a droid companion in these sort of comics, and this droid is called Z67. Now, Z67 is an SP4ISC droid. They are crime scene analysis droids, and you would have seen one called Russo in the Clone Wars in the famous temple bombing arc. If you don't know what that one is, then shame on you. It's probably the best arc, arguably the best arc in all of the Clone Wars, apart from probably the last four episodes, I'd say. Yeah, the temple bombing arc is insane. Well, in that, there's a character or a droid called Russo, who is also an SP4ISC droid, and he investigates the temple bombing and tries to work out what happened, and accompanying him is actually Anakin. So it's a nice little parallel there. In addition, there are just SP4 droids, because the ISC is like a custom version of the SP4. In essence, the SP4 droids are just standard analysis droids. There's loads of them in the Clone Wars. I think there's some in Afra as well. They're various places across the galaxy, primarily in the hands of either the Republic or the Imperials, and the ISC are specially for crime scene analysis. So that's who's going with Vader on his mission. As Vader flies off in a shuttle, Admiral Piet gets a message from Palpatine saying that they want to speak to Vader. Piet tries to find Vader and then sees his shuttle flying away, tells Palpatine that he's currently unavailable, and Palpatine just laughs. And then that's all that you see from Palpatine, I think, in this whole volume. So then on the shuttle, Vader opens up Zed. I'm going to call him Zed, but my notes have got the letter Zed. I may end up saying Z because I'm used to Dragon Ball Z, even though in England we say Zed. Irrelevant. But if I say Z or Zed, I mean the same person. So Vader opens up Zed, fiddles around with his motivator or something, and basically says that if he reveals what he learns on these missions with anyone else, he will self-destruct. And it's confirmed that Vader wants to track down everyone who hid Luke from Vader. So they head to where Luke was first seen, which is Tatooine. As the ship goes to land on Tatooine, a few pirates watch Vader's shuttle land and make some comments that they're going to see if they can get some unmarked credits or something like that. And then after Vader has landed and starts walking, a squad of stormtroopers and an Imperial officer greet him. He walks past all of them really without even acknowledging their existence, and a couple of Death Troopers kind of intimidate one of the Imperial officers, and he's like, okay, I'll just let you guys go past then. So Zed goes to a terminal and then finds the home of Kleeg Lars, which is where they go. So the home of Kleeg Lars, Kleeg is the guy without a leg who marries and frees Shmi Skywalker in Attack of the Clones, who Anakin meets. And then after he dies, the house is inherited by Owen Lars, who is Luke's uncle, along with his aunt, Beru. So they then obviously live in that place until they get burnt to a crisp in A New Hope. And I want to clarify, throughout this comic and throughout quite a lot of the comics within this 2020 run of Vader comics, I would say probably like 5 or 10% of the comics is just flashbacks to other Star Wars content. And I do like it to some degree. On the first watch, I was really into it. I really enjoyed how it's got these connections. But then when I've reread them now for doing this, because obviously I read these when they first came out, I don't want to say that anyone involved in this was lazy, because that's quite a mean thing to say. I know the vision they had, but there's a lot of padding. So you just read this and there's just so much, especially if you're really familiar with the films, you just don't need to know again. You just don't need to see the frame from a movie but with a red tint on it and Vader saying a quote that he says as Anakin in the film. You just get a lot of those in this, and it keeps going throughout the War of the Bounty Hunters. If anyone's been keeping up to date with my episodes on that, you can just hear so often, is it just like half the comic is just a recap of either other stuff that's happened or just the movies and Vader saying slightly different things over them. But I just want to clarify that if it seems like certain elements of this are quite thin and it seems to jump all over the place, it's because I'm basically just skipping over the flashback part. But while Zed is explaining, you know, who had this house and it was inherited by Owen Lars, etc., Vader is having flashbacks of Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith and stuff. Anyway, they go in the house, they look around, Vader sees more familiar things and gets more flashbacks and stuff, and then it looks like the Tusken Raiders went in there and smashed up some stuff after Owen and Beru had died. And Z notes the animosity between Moisture Farmers and also Tusken Raiders. Obviously Anakin, or Vader, has flashbacks of when Anakin went mental in Attack of the Clones and killed loads of them. And then Vader has a moment to think by himself, and he sees Yoda as well as Padme and Luke, and then he sees Luke like jump off that antenna thing he's holding in Empire Strikes Back and fall down the big old pit. And he sees that happen, and then he also sees the same thing happen with Padme, like her falling down the middle pit, obviously to show some sort of parallel imagery and things. And then he kind of snaps to, wanders off, and then Zed finds some hidden headstones of Owen and Beru Lars. Before any further investigating can happen, those pirates attack, which are the people who spotted Vader when he went to the planet. They shoot from their ships, killing the Imperial officer and a bunch of the stormtroopers that were there on the planet when Vader landed, and they actually set Vader on fire. He quickly, you know, clenches his fist in a very Vader-like fashion, and then all the flames extinguish, and then the ships start to go towards him, and he uses the Force to make one crash into another one, and then as it kind of goes towards him, he sidesteps and then swipes with his lightsaber and cuts a chunk out of it, so there's now grounded ships, and these pirates are coming out firing on them. In a few quite cool panels of Vader basically just destroying these pirates, he deflects loads of the blaster bolts they're shooting at him, and then he goes over and individually kills all of them, slicing off limbs, stabbing them, doing all that sort of usual stuff. Then shortly after that, Vader then heads to Coruscant, to Padme's apartment. It was closed, it's got like a big stone head of Padme blocking the entrance, and before Zed can tell him he can't get in, Vader crunches his fist, and then the whole thing cracks. He pushes it aside and walks in. It's confirmed that Vader wants information to find out if any allies of Padme's left some sort of a trace to find out what happened to her in her final hours. Zed manages to find a scout transmitter, and then they track it and go to a planet called Vendaxa. Now, Vendaxa is not really in canon or Legends that much. It's in the canon, apart from this comic, barely at all. I think it's in like a couple of reference books that were Legends, and then when they make the canon reference books, then it's mentioned in there again. But aside from this comic, it's not really in the canon at all. And then in Legends, it seems to only really be in one main comic, which are Legacy comics from 2006. They're called Star Wars Legacy. They're by Dark Horse. There's like four or five comics that take place on the planet Vendaxa, but aside from that, there's not really much else to note about Vendaxa. But yeah, on the planet, you see a Gungan soldier running away from some local creatures that are attacking that are called land squids. And then you see that quite a few of his comrades are being attacked by these land squids as well. And then Vader shows up. Vader starts to slice through loads of these land squid things, and they're a lot more scary than land squids. If anyone's seen Starship Troopers, they're quite a lot like the bugs in that, but a bit smaller, just like maybe even a baby one of those sort of things. But yeah, Vader continues to slice through loads of them, and then right at the end of this issue, he sees someone who looks a lot like Padme, and lets out a quiet, "Padme?" So with that in mind, let's move on to issue number 2. So issue number 2 starts with more flashes from Vader from Attack of the Clones and things, and that's obviously relating to him seeing someone who looks exactly the same as Padme, but it's clearly not going to be Padme back from the dead in comic form. That would be quite a shocker, wouldn't it? So Zed scans her and confirms that she is the same age as Padme, has similar bone structure to Padme, she even sounds similar to Padme, she's wearing Naboo gear. And before anything else can get said, she then shoots Vader, realizing who he is. He just puts his hand out in the fashion he did in Empire Strikes Back, deflecting the bolt, and then pulls the blaster away from her. She confirms that she is Padme and she's back from the dead to haunt him, and he, in retaliation, force chokes her, lifting her off the ground. She chokes for a while, he has some flashbacks to how he did it to Padme in Revenge of the Sith, and then drops her to the floor. He's then there, kind of thinking again, trying to work out what to do, and she is crawling away in the background. As he realizes what's happened, he turns around and is attacked by many, many more land squids. So after some panels of very cool artwork and action scenes of him killing loads of land squids, Vader and Zed pursue this woman and find her. And she confirms that she's not afraid, she is just angry. Vader then realizes who she is. She's actually a Naboo handmaiden called Sabe. Now it is spelled S-A-B-E, so it looks like Sabe, but Sabe is said at some point, I remember. And Sabe is actually a very key character in Star Wars, even though from first thought you wouldn't think that. So in The Phantom Menace, Sabe is the character played by Keira Knightley, and she is the decoy. So whenever Padme goes into situations which could be dangerous for the Queen, she has Sabe being her as the Queen, and then Padme pretends to be one of the handmaidens just in case. And then the whole switcheroo stuff gets revealed when Padme and Sabe go to the Gungans towards the end of The Phantom Menace and confirm to them and then, you know, make a truce, and then that's before they go off to war and stuff. But Sabe, as well as being played by Keira Knightley, she actually does have a lot more backstory for her. There is a trilogy of books by E.K. Johnston called The Queen's Trilogy. There's The Queen's Peril, The Queen's Shadow, and The Queen's Hope. And those go into a huge amount of detail of what the responsibilities of a Naboo Queen is, how Padme deals with these things, as well as what all her handmaidens get up to. Because they're both handmaidens as well as bodyguards, but they can also be decoys, they're also meant to be advisors. They have a multifaceted role, and it's quite an intriguing look into how Naboo's monarchy works, especially in a pre-galactic empire when it essentially means nothing. But it's quite cool they brought this character in, and obviously with her introduction in The Phantom Menace, she looks very similar to Padme, so it works very well here, I find. And it's a very interesting thread, I'd say. But yeah, if you want to hear more about those guys, then yeah, check out the Queen's trilogy. But continuing on, Vader asks Sabe why she broke into Padme's quarters just after the news of Padme's death. And Sabe thinks that Palpatine killed her. He says that, well, she fell and then the Emperor rose. Vader says that Padme would support the Empire. Sabe says, did you even know her? She definitely wouldn't. They have a mild amount of arguing back and forth. And then Vader says, look, someone took her away before she died. I don't know who it is, but they're going to be who's responsible for the death. So we need to find them. He says that if we work together, we can find Padme's killer. Then, even more land squids attack, and Sabe fights alongside Darth Vader to not get killed. And then there's six panels, and the panels on the left show Padme in Attack of the Clones, and panels on the right show Sabe with Vader now. And it's just kind of mirroring that Sabe is not only becoming the persona of Padme, but also has got a lot of her mannerisms, fights in similar ways, and it's just some quite cool parallels once again. They managed to make it out, and pretty much all of Sabe's friends were killed. They were, to quote Zed, either rebels or traitors, but Sabe says she's not leaving until they are buried. So Vader tells Zed he has to help her. It's also confirmed that the friends that she buried actually walked with Sabe at Padme's funeral as well, just to add another layer of familiarity with her and the people who've just died. After they've been buried and things, Sabe then confirms that she does have the recordings from Padme's apartment, but they were encrypted with an Imperial code, she couldn't crack them, and then she's hidden them, and they are hidden on Naboo. So this comic ends with Vader thinking about Naboo as they head there, and Vader thinks about Padme and Anakin's wedding at the end of Attack of the Clones. So that's where issue number 2 ends. So moving swiftly on, let's delve into issue number 3. So, issue 3 starts on Naboo. You've got Vader and Sabe heading towards the Nibiri Lake Retreat. Now, the Nibiri name may be something that's familiar to some of you, but not others, but you definitely know a character who has that last name. So, Padme Amidala, her surname being Amidala, is just a regal, a royal name. So, much like the monarchy here in the UK, when someone becomes a king or queen, they generally take the name of someone prior to them. I have no idea why it is, and to me it makes no sense and seems, in all honesty, stupid. If I'm being completely blunt with yourselves, if I became king, I wouldn't want to be anything other than like my surname. But regardless, so Padme's name is not Padme Amidala, it's actually Padme Nibiri. And interestingly enough, in Attack of the Clones, there's a deleted scene that shows Anakin meeting Padme's family. Now, you do actually get to see them for like a couple of frames when you see Padme's funeral in episode 3. So I think that the deleted scene in Attack of the Clones is technically speaking canon. So Padme has got her two parents, there's Rui and Jobal, and then she's also got a sister who's called Sola, and Sola has got a child called Ryu, who I believe is male. So yeah, the Nibiri Lake Retreat is just owned by Padme's family. So Death Troopers are left with the ship, and Vader, Sabe, and Zed all enter. They get ambushed, Vader deflects a couple of blasts, uses the Force, and then Sabe yells stop. It turns out that the two people who've ambushed them were friends of Sabe. One is called Captain Tonra, and the other is Gregar Typho. Now, Captain Tonra is only really in the Queen's trilogy by E.K. Johnston. She says that he's a character in The Phantom Menace, but that hasn't been explicitly confirmed by canon sources, so he may or may not be in The Phantom Menace. But the main character I want to focus on here is Gregar Typho. Now, he is in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, especially at the start of Attack of the Clones, you see him, I think he's got an eye patch, and when the first attempt in that movie is on Padme's life, so when the ship blows up and her decoy gets killed, he's the one who's with her then, Gregar Typho. Now, interestingly enough, he is the nephew of Korsh Panaka. Korsh Panaka is the character in The Phantom Menace who is the head of security and helped Padme around things. Now, in addition to being the nephew of Korsh Panaka and then becoming the head of security in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, he is also in the Queen's trilogy, unsurprisingly, and he also appears in a few episodes of The Clone Wars. And Quash Panaka, funnily enough, lived all the way up to only, I think it was about 5 years before A New Hope. So in Claudia Gray's book, Leia, Princess of Alderaan, you actually get Leia meeting Quash Panaka and him noticing that she has some similarities to Padme. And it just kind of unfolds from there. I don't want to necessarily spoil the rest of it. I mean, I've already told you he's died, so I suppose that is somewhat a spoiler. But if you want to read that book, I would really recommend it. It surprised me how enjoyable it was. Anyway, back to the story. So Vader, Sabe, and Zed are now meeting Tonra and Typho. They're all a little bit tense, understandably, and Sabe says that they've got the recordings, so Vader shouldn't kill them. They head down some stairs, and Zed makes a couple of comments about the assassination attempts made on Padme, and then Gregor mentions Corday and Anakin, and last time that he saw Padme was when she insisted on flying to Mustafar alone. So Corday is the decoy who gets killed at the start of Attack of the Clones, as I mentioned slightly earlier. Anyway, heading down these stairs and things on Naboo, they reach a vessel. Now, this vessel is actually something, once again, that you'd recognise from The Phantom Menace, and it's called a Gungan Bongo submarine. It's about 15 metres long, it can go 85 kilometres per hour, and you see it in The Queen's Peril, but primarily you see it in The Phantom Menace. It's the ship that Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan use when Jar Jar's in the back, and they fly through the planet's core, after being given the ship by Boss Naz. You can also see it in the Clone Wars episode 4 of the 4th season called Shadow Warrior. So they fly this vessel and then it is bitten by a Kolo clawfish. Now a Kolo clawfish is once again from The Phantom Menace in that scene I just mentioned, and it basically looks like an absolutely gigantic crocodile thing. It's about 40 meters long, and in The Phantom Menace it grabs the ship and then a bigger fish comes by, which is the Sando Aqua Monster. And that grabs the Kolo clawfish, and Qui-Gon says his famous line, there's always a bigger fish. So the smaller of those two fish is what has just bitten the vessel. So the vessel is getting now crunched by this Kolo clawfish, and so all of the inhabitants swim out, and Vader then slices the Kolo clawfish with his lightsaber. He then gets grabbed by another one, and while this is happening, the rest of them manage to reach a Gungan pod. Vader manages to escape and then all gets out with the rest of them and sees a really nice mural. It's basically almost like a screenshot of the end of The Phantom Menace, where you've got Boss Nass holding up that orb thing, and then you've got Padme there and Anakin and Obi-Wan and stuff just right at the end of the celebration-y part, and there's a mural showing that. Vader then destroys it, unsurprisingly, and then Tomra manages to find the recording. He gives it to Vader and Zed, and then Zed plays it. So the recording is of the Amidalans, who will vow to kill Padme's killer. And then Zed is a little bit confused as to why this is in a recording. He thought it was going to be something, you know, helpful. And then Sabe, Tonra, and Gregor say that Vader was the one who killed Padme. Vader in response says yes he did, ignites the blade, and in response Sabe activates a device that attracts a Sando Aqua Monster. And then the final panel is shown that the mouth is open, going down to bite the pod that they're all in. Now, the Sando Aqua Monster, as I said, that's the one that bites the Kolo clawfish from The Phantom Menace, and this creature is around 200 meters in size. So I think that's from its head to its tail. So absolutely massive. So issue 3 ends, and we begin issue number 4. So the Sando Aqua Monster attacks, and Zed confirms that Imperial records show that no one has ever killed one before. Vader and Zed are trying to swim away, and they get chomped up by it. Tomra then shoots the Beast Caller away, so the monster just swims away from them all, and it sees an Imperial shuttle. It jumps out of the water and bites the shuttle, which then crash lands. Death Troopers then open fire on the Aqua Monster, and then it shows that inside, Vader is still alive, unsurprisingly, swinging his lightsaber and cutting up chunks of its flesh. After a few more panels of action, the Sando Aqua Monster then dies. It appears to be a male, approximately 932 years old, and Zed says a nice little fun fact, which is, it is now likely at 83% that the species will go extinct by the end of the century, because they live for so long, but their mating seasons are quite short, and they don't really mate very much, and obviously the size of them, the planet can only contain a certain amount. So with one prime male now gone, it's a chance that they're going to be extinct. So Vader and Zed then head to Theed, which is the capital city of Naboo. They get caught in something called a bubble wart projector. It's basically just like a pocket ray shield in essence. And a character called Rick Oley sentences Vader to death. Now Rick Oley, you actually do see him in The Phantom Menace, and he's actually the one who shows Anakin how to control the ship. When they're flying from, I believe it's Naboo to Coruscant, and they try and get through the blockade and stuff. He shows Anakin a few of the controls and things, and then he also reappears in Phantom Menace towards the end when there's the sort of battle happening between Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, and Darth Maul, and then Anakin gets in one of those Naboo starfighters, so it's the big yellow ships, and goes into space and then destroys that Trade Federation ship. He is among the pilots that fly in one of those as well. So after Rick sentences him to death, Vader manages to break out of the bubble. He attacks and seemingly kills Rick Oley. After a few more panels of action and fighting and things, Vader manages to get to the tomb of Padme. And then five handmaidens show, including Sabe. But the other four of them are Iurte, Rabe, Sashe, and Dorme. Now, Dorme is actually Rose Byrne's character that you see in Attack of the Clones. She's the one who, when Padme and Anakin go off to Naboo, and they're just getting on like public transport and stuff, and Obi-Wan is, you know, telling Anakin not to do anything stupid, then Dorme is there, and she's like crying, and says, you know, I worry about you, my lady, that sort of thing. That's her character. So with Vader confronted by these five handmaidens, he tells them to leave if they want to live. They attack him with electro staffs, and they manage to get one or two hits in, but he basically just force chokes all of them at the same time and then throws them all away. As Vader gets nearer Padme's tomb, he sees a trinket. Now, the trinket itself is actually a Jappor snippet. It's a good luck charm, and Padme was holding it when she died. She was also holding it in her funeral that you get to see in Episode 3, but you guys will remember that because it's the weird little thing that Anakin seemingly carves and gives her in The Phantom Menace as like a good luck charm. So Vader sees that in like a glass case. So Vader gets to the tomb door, and Sabe asks Vader if he is done. He says no, and then opens the tomb door. And that is where issue number 4 ends. So with that, my friends, we move on to issue number 5, the finale of this little arc. So Vader is at Padme's tomb with Sabe. He cracks open the casket, and then Zed scans within that crack and finds a medical implant, which has a location on it. Sabe then leaves and calls the Amidalans to go to the location, and Vader tells her to go there and to get all of her friends to go meet him on Polis Massa. So Polis Massa, it is the asteroid field that you get to see at the end of Episode 3, and it's actually where Luke and Leia are born, and is where Padme dies. There's not really a huge amount of it in canon or in Legends, it seems, but it appears that around 500 years ago, people established the base on the asteroid field to work out what happened to the planet, which is also called Polis Massa, because there was this mysterious cataclysmic event that seemingly destroyed the planet, and no one really knows why. So it'd be quite interesting to see if they do like an era of time before the High Republic, like, you know, 300 years before that. It'd be interesting to see if we get to see what actually happened to Polis Massa. But then again, I suppose 300 years before the High Republic is when people are trying to work out what happened. So presumably it was something in the Jedi and Sith Wars that would have happened like 1,000 years ago. But as I said, I don't actually know. So anyway, on Polis Massa, you've got Zed and Vader walking around, and, you know, Zed is looking in terminals and things, trying to get some more information, and he confirms that a Naboo J-type star skiff flown by Kenobi with Padme on board as well as two droids was here on Polis Massa. But he can't access the medical logs from there, they'd have to go to the medical station on the other side of the base. The Amidalans then appear, and they attack Vader. Some of them are in ships, and they're shooting down to where Vader is. Some of them then land on the asteroid base, and then try and attack Vader on foot. And in the meantime, there's some Death Troopers that are operating some guns. So they're on, like, the side of where these ships have just come into attack, so the Death Troopers have opened fire and are destroying a fair amount of these ships. So as Vader makes his way to the other side of the base, he then engages a lot of the Amidalans who are on foot. So he attacks them, he's smashing them and killing them. There's a ship that flies nearby, and he manages to like grab that and throw that down onto someone. Some very cool Vader action in these comics. But then eventually Vader and Zed get to the medbay. It's confirmed that the data core was destroyed, so Zed can't actually get the information that Vader wants, as there's just nothing to recover. Then Vader spots a Kroon Tan B machine midwifery droid, and I couldn't find them anywhere else in canon aside from in Episode 3 when you first see them, and here, aside from like the odd mention in like a reference book. But in essence, they're, as the name suggests, a midwifery droid. So they're a droid that help people give birth, and they say nice calming noises and things. And one thing I oddly remember from Episode 3 quite a lot is always the droid, when either Luke or Leia are born, is going, Oopa, Oopa. That's the droid. And I looked it up, and apparently, yeah, they're programmed to make cooing noises to calm people down. So all fun there. So Vader and Zed manage to look through the Kroon Tan B machine midwifery droid's memory, and they see footage of Padme's last moments. So, as soon as Vader sees this, he kills or destroys Zedd by slicing him in half with a lightsaber, and sees that Padme tells Obi-Wan that there's still good in him, referring to Anakin. Vader is then there, just thinking by himself for a while, and I mentioned earlier on in the episode that he has that imagery where he sees Luke falling down that shaft thing in Empire Strikes Back, and then he saw Padme falling down that shaft thing, where he now sees himself falling, and then his Jedi self falling from, like, Attack of the Clones, and then his boy self falling from The Phantom Menace. And then the final panels of this comic is Vader returns to Palpatine on Coruscant. Palpatine tells him that he's wallowing around in grief, so he needs to start again with fear. And that, my friends, is where this comic ends. Now, obviously, it is going to continue in the second volume of the 2020 run of Darth Vader comics, which I will be tackling in about 2 weeks' time, I believe. So, my friends, thank you as always for listening. So, let's confirm what we've got coming up over the next, well, the few last weeks of 2021. So, obviously, this was the first volume of the Darth Vader comics from the 2020 run. Next week, I'm going to be tackling the second volume of the Bounty Hunters run. And then the week after that, I'm going to be tackling the second volume of the Darth Vader run that will continue from this. And then the final full episode of Star Wars Comics in Canon, which I think is going to be released December 18th, so the week before Christmas, that is going to be the finale of the War of the Bounty Hunters massive crossover event, including Dr. Aphra, Darth Vader, the Star Wars run of comics, and the Bounty Hunters run of comics, as well as the miniseries of War of the Bounty Hunters itself, as well as the companion comics, including like Jabba and Boosh and Forlorn Zuckuss and IG-88. So that'll mean that by the end of this year, all of the Star Wars comics that are ongoing will be fully up to date, apart from ones that are in IDW Publishing, and also the High Republic comics. Now, the only other ongoing series I have not yet tackled, which actually is not ongoing anymore, it's finished, is the Poe Dameron comics by Charles Soule. So I will be tackling them next year. So in 2022, what you can expect generally is going to be one episode a month. You know, generally a month is made out of 4 weeks. So on that basis, it just makes it easier to confirm. So in a month, you're going to get one episode for Poe Dameron, one episode which is going to be for miniseries and things like the Monster of Temple Peak has recently finished, there's Trail of Shadows that's going to be finishing soon, there's going to be the Marcion Row two-shots, there's also a couple of like random little one-shots here and there, and there are other miniseries going on that are primarily around the High Republic. And you also get the High Republic comics as well, there's the Marvel ones, which are written by Kevin Scott, and then there's the High Republic Adventures comics, which are published by IDW Publishing, that are written by Daniel Jose Older. So there's going to be a lot of High Republic stuff in the new year because that's the majority of comic content that we are getting at the moment. But I will also be doing the Poe Dameron comics as well. And then, you know, every few months I will then do more of the ongoing series. But obviously where War of the Bounty Hunters is finished, there's now talk about Crimson Reign. And it looks like Crimson Reign is going to be another whole crossover event thing, so it's going to be a mini series of that, and then there's also going to be potentially Bounty Hunters, Darth Vader, Dr. Aphra, and the main run of Star Wars are all going to intertwine with that again. So if that is the case, then I'll probably do something similarly to what I've been doing over the last few months, which is just one episode a month will be the Crimson Reign stuff, and that's just going to be from the month before, it'll be one comic from each of the runs, and then also the mini series, and then any other companion stuff that go along with that. So that's generally what you can expect: Poe Dameron, High Republic mini series, and potentially Crimson Reign, or however those kind of get structured. We'll see in a month or so when they're all fully out and, you know, I've got my hands on them. I will also be doing some book reviews as well, so make sure you look out for those. Obviously, I released my Rising Storm book review a little while ago. I am going to be recording the Race to Crash Point Tower one soon-ish, aiming to release that, I guess, in the next couple months, and then we'll see about Out of the Shadows. And then in January, we've got the next wave of High Republic books released. I think Claudia Gray's adult novel, Fallen Star, is going to be the next big one. So lots of content coming out and things, and I'm sure there's going to be even more things that are announced that I haven't got my hands on yet. You know, there's going to be Halcyon Legacy. There's actually a one-shot comic, which is like the Galactic Bake Off, which is quite interesting. And there's a few other bits and pieces and stuff that is going to be coming out, which, you know, I'll be tackling on the show, as well as some other bonus things as well. But aside from that, guys, a few things to note of where you can get me. So obviously check out my other show, Genuine Chit Chat. I speak to people to do with Star Wars. I speak to people who have nothing to do with Star Wars. I spoke with Paolo Villanelli fairly recently, and he does the artwork for the Bounty Hunters comics. He also did Lando Double Nothing and the first issue of Vader Dark Visions. Then I also spoke with Claudia Gray last year, so December 2020. And then I also spoke with Dominic Pace, who is in season one of The Mandalorian. That was in, I think, January or February time. And I also spoke with Alex and Molly of Star Wars Explained. And that was a couple months ago as well. But I think that was released on this feed as well anyway. But to clarify, if you are listening to this on the podcasting feed of Comics in Motion, then you can find Genuine Chit Chat wherever you're listening to Comics in Motion, and you know, make sure you check out all the other great shows too. However, if you're listening on the YouTube channel, thank you very much, because on my YouTube channel it's got both videos for Genuine Chit Chat as well as for Star Wars Comics and Canon, and everything is put into nice little playlists. So if you're listening to this right now and you're not listening on YouTube and you have got a YouTube account, please do me a massive favor, find Genuine Chit Chat on YouTube. I should have a link in the description to it just in case you have any problem finding it, but please find it on YouTube and subscribe, because once I get to 100 subscribers I can then change the channel link name from gobbledygook to /genuinechitchat, which is what I want. But obviously, like, less than 1% of you guys actually listen on YouTube. Most of the videos barely get any views, which is fine, because, you know, a lot of you listen audio only, which is perfectly fine with me. But if you could do me a solid, that would be really, really handy. In addition to that, guys, I've been on a few guest spots recently. I've been on the Binots Production Podcast. I've also been on Star Wars Timeline like 3 times recently. And each episode I've done with Star Wars Timeline can be found on YouTube. And in essence, we speak for like an hour and a half about one of the sequel films. So I've done 3 episodes. So one was Force Awakens, one was Last Jedi, and one was The Rise of Skywalker. We talk about the good things and the bad things of those movies. We talk about what we thought succeeded, what we thought didn't. And me and Ben don't agree on everything, but we have a nice civil conversation about it. So if you're a Star Wars fan, and presumably you are by listening to this, and you want to hear two people talk for nearly 2 hours about each of the sequel movies, then make sure you check that out. The links are in the description to that as well. Also, check out my appearance on the Hall of Mirrors podcast. Link to that's in the description as well. I believe there's a YouTube version as well as a standard just audio podcasting version of that. And me and Randy just spoke about, well, pop culture. We spoke about Star Wars a little bit. We spoke about podcasting. It's a nice general conversation, so make sure you check that out too. Now, if you want to support the show, you can if you go to patreon.com/genuinechitschat. For as little as £1 a month, you will get access to an audio feed, or a link that you can put anywhere you listen to podcasts, or you can just listen directly on Patreon, either or. And I release at least 1 episode of Afterthoughts a week. It's normally myself and Megan. We talk about TV shows and movies and things. We've watched, like, most Marvel stuff we watch fairly quickly. So if you want a spoiler-free review that's like 10-ish, maybe 15 minutes of Eternals or Venom Let There Be Carnage or Shang-Chi Legend of the Ten Rings. Also, we're watching Hawkeye at the moment, so we'll no doubt do one on that as well. If you want to hear some spoiler-free stuff on those, make sure you check that out. But we also do other TV shows. Like, we watched Narcos recently, Schitt's Creek, we finished Ted Lasso recently, so we'll probably do an episode on that. But also for Halloween, we did like a lot of horror movies, so we did the Halloween movies, we did Don't Breathe, we did the Blair Witch Project, both the film and its sequel. So there's lots of variety of the kind of films that we tackle, you know, older films and films that aren't just brand new. We do include spoilers and we do warn people of that, so it's a bit of a more in-depth conversation, whereas other ones that are brand new films, we do generally do spoiler-free, same as with series, because we wouldn't want to spoil those for you. I also do occasionally do a Afterthoughts comic review, which I will be doing another one soon-ish, because I've been reading a lot more comics that aren't Star Wars comics. You know, I've done 2 which were both DC comics. I did 3 Jokers, and I also did Death in the Family and Lonely Place of Dying. So I'm intending on doing another one soon, because I'm reading a lot of Marvel stuff to do with Venom and Carnage and things, so we'll see about that. But as I said, it's just as little as £1 a month, and it would mean the absolute world to me if you would consider going checking it out, because you get loads of extra content. And when I release book reviews on here, you also get them early on there. And then also when Genuine Chit Chat episodes drop, you get access to part 2 at the same time you get access to part 1 in one full unsplit episode. But that is really enough plugging for me, guys, aside from saying the usual, like, rate and review on Good Pods or Apple Podcasts or Podmatch or anywhere like that. Anywhere that you can leave a rating, please rate Comics in Motion as well as Genuine Chit Chat and any of the amazing shows that you listen to. All podcasters appreciate being rated. But in addition, please share, please talk to your friends about it, please just, you know, anyone you know who likes Star Wars, try and direct them to this show, because I try and make the show in a way that you can love it even if you've never read a comic before in your life. But my friends, that is where I'm going to leave you. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I'll be back next week with the second volume of the Bounty Hunters comics, and then the week after that with the second volume of these Darth Vader comics. And I just appreciate all of you listening. So as always, guys, thank you so much. I'll talk to you next week, and may the Force be with you. The intro for Star Wars Comics and Canon is arranged by myself, Mike Burton, and the backing music was made by Eric Matias of soundimage.org.
You have just experienced host, creator, everything elser of Genuine Chit Chat, and also the host and creator of Star Wars Comics and Canon, found on the Comics in Motion podcast, Mike Burton.